In a minute's time, we're going to talk about being British, but not about our sense of pride and feeling British. Let's not go over Brexit all again. But actually buying British. You know, when you buy items of clothing, when you buy new shoes, or when you buy something for the house or whatever, how many times do you look and see where it's from? Chances are, it's not from here. And by here, I mean it's not even from Leicestershire, Rutland, or indeed in the heart of what was once the textile industry, good old Leicester City. So, should it, and could it, be making a comeback? We'll be finding out about a boom in British textiles in just a few minutes. Uptown Girl, Billy Joel. Now, I'm going to spare you all the blushes. I'm not going to stand here taking off all my clothes, so I can simply tell you where they're from. But if you were to look at the inside of that T-shirt, the summer shorts, yeah, right, in this weather, maybe your jeans, when was the last time you considered where your clothes were made? The county's textile industry is famous thanks to names like Nathaniel Corran Sons, Cherub, Symington's and Picks. They were once kings of British manufacturing, but were forced to close after retailers moved their manufacturing overseas in the 70s and 80s. But could the best of British be making a comeback? Kate Hills is the founder and CEO of Make It British. She spent 20 years working as a designer and a buyer for brands such as Burberry and Marks and Spencers, heading off a multiple product sourcing trips overseas, which is what she does regularly. Now, this is all prompting Kate to set up the Make It British website to help promote UK manufacturing and British-made brands. So how's she getting on? Well, she joins me on the line now. Hi there, Kate.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Nice to talk to you. So Make It British, I mean, is this something that there is a significant movement for?
Definitely. I've been doing the Make It British sort of campaign now for 5 years. And in that time, I've seen a huge growth in the amount of new factories that are setting up, those that are growing and investing in their business, and more people wanting to buy products with a Made in Britain label.
Now, because they're made in Britain, does that make them more costly? I mean, there's no doubt, is there, that the reason why a lot of this has gone overseas is because it's cheap labour.
That is true, and it does often cost...
Oh, Kate, can you still hear us? We seem to have lost Kate there. We'll go back to Kate in just one moment's time. That was Kate Hills, the founder and CEO of Make It British. Kate, can you hear me again?
I can, yes.
There we go. No, you cut out slightly. You were just telling... I was asking you whether or not British-made goods are more expensive, because, of course, we know the reason why a lot of work went overseas is because it was cheap labour. No, we seem to have lost Kate again. We'll just try and get a slightly... better connection there. In the meantime, Jack Rafferty is out and about this morning. He's at the Leicester-based textile manufacturer Basic Premier Limited. Jack, what can you tell us there? Is there a feel of Make It British?
Good morning, Jonathan. Yes, there really is. I mean, as you come in, you see everybody's hard at work. There's rows and rows of sewing machines with lots of happy workers all making various bits of garments, one of which, who has agreed to say hello to me, is Rashida. Good morning, Rashida.
Hello.
And what is it you're making today?
We are making trousers.
Okay, and how many do you expect to get through in one day?
All day? About 400, 500.
And what sort, is it hard work? Is it enjoyable?
It's enjoyable. Yeah. It's really enjoyable.
And we're talking about the fact that it's great to get it back making clothes here in Britain. Do you think it's better quality that you guys here are making?
Oh, yeah. A lot better. The sizes, the garment, everything, the stitches, they're a lot better.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Rashida. Well, I'm also joined by Mick Cheema, who's the boss here. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning.
So we're here, the ladies are making women's clothing, and they just said, who are the clients? Who are these going to be going, and where can our listeners, if they want to get hold of some, where will they be able to buy them in weeks' time?
Right, yeah, you can get them from New Look. There's about 15,000 jogging bottoms we're making, plus the top as well. So you can go to New Look. We've also got Tesco's dresses on the line there. There's about another 10,000 units there. So we've got clients such as New Look, Tesco's, George, River Island... So we've got a decent basket of customers.
And as we've been saying, it seems to be this resurgence in British manufacturing. As I look across, everybody here has got piles and piles of fabrics ready to get stitched into the fashions required. What sort of resurgence have you seen over the last couple of years?
Yeah, over the last couple of years, there has been a resurgence in the industry. It's more to do with speed to market. The UK can offer that special niche market where basically if you're getting goods in from China or Bangladesh, it could take months or months. But in the UK, if, for example, some lady on the catwalk is wearing something on the Friday, we can actually get that produced and made within 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, into the retailers. So it's all about speed to market. That gives us that opportunity to capitalise on this open window. On the back of that, Leicester has seen a resurgence of the industry. So we've got a good industry still here in Leicester. We've got fabric mills, we've got fabric importers, we've got rotary screen printers, we've got sublimators. So there's a strong industry still in Leicester.
And here, obviously, we're on the floor where everybody's sewing, stitching everything together, but there's other areas going on right here in this building, isn't there?
Yeah, we do cutting. It's computerised cutting, which is new. We also do sublimation printing on site as well. We also do pressing, trimming, packing. We offer a warehouse facility. We reprocess goods as well, so goods that have come in from overseas that are not good quality. Right, so they come to us guys and we inspect them, etc. So, yeah, we have a 26,000 square foot site here, and there's several departments, and at the moment we're all busy.
And you mentioned, obviously, like you say, if someone famous, the Kim Kardashians or the whoever's of this world, wear some sort of fashionable piece that me and you wouldn't know anything about, I'm sure you would, I wouldn't have a clue. Like you said, people can get that, it can be made here in Britain that quick. Is that the sort of world we're living in now? People want instant gratification. They see something, they want it immediately.
Yeah, I think this generation, the youngsters coming into that age where they've got that choice to buy, they've got some money, they've got pocket money, they want it instantly. You know, they see something, they want it. And I think going forward in years to come, that is the way things are going to go. And on the back of that, Leicester's got an opportunity now to capitalise on that and grow. So I think that is the way the industry is going. They want it instantly.
So, like you said then, you feel positive that this isn't just a short-term thing. This is going to continue to grow, and the industry in Leicester can keep growing and keep developing.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity here. The industry at the moment, I'd say, is about 5% of what it could be, right? I think, you know, we can actually grow the industry. You know, Leicester, you know, could be like a world-class name when it comes to fashion. The City Council, there's a chap called Altav, he's trying to promote Leicester in such a way that, you know, we have like a kite mark. So everything that's made in Leicester has got a special kite mark to it. And then hopefully promoting Leicester on the national plus the global level.
Well, there you go. So Leicester's going to be the next Milan. Ignore Milan, ignore Paris. It's going to be Leicester.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Leicester Premiership winners. You know, there you go, isn't it? It's all going on in Leicester at the moment.
Well, there you go, Jonathan. We've taken Finding Kings. We've taken football. Leicester is coming for fashion next.
Very nice indeed, Jack. Thank you very much indeed, Jack Rafferty there at the Leicester-based textile manufacturer Basic Premier Limited. Kate Hills, I think, is back with us now, the founder and CEO of Make It British. Hi there, Kate. That's a slightly better line. Well, very buoyant there. There's certainly a feeling that here in Leicester we could take back the textile crown. But one of the things I was asking, I tried again, but then we lost you, was if we buy British, are we going to pay a premium for that? Because a lot of the reason why business went overseas is because of cheap labour, isn't it?
Yes, that is true. It was obviously relatively cheap to make things overseas. It still is cheaper for the most part. But what Mick said just then about things being more flexible, you can buy things much quicker. And, you know, to the customer, to be able to buy something that's been on the catwalk a couple of weeks ago in the stores at a reasonable price is a great incentive for everyone to start, for all the buyers to start sourcing from the UK again. And I don't believe it's always more expensive anyway. So you do get good quality when you buy British-made products.
It's interesting you talk there about the quality. I mean, why is a British-made product going to be better quality than, say, something that's made overseas? I mean, I know you've worked for big fashion houses. Not all of them make their clothing and their accessories in the UK, but they wouldn't dare suggest that they're inferior to those that are made in the UK.
I think the main difference is that buyers and, you know, big high street stores are able to keep a closer eye on their quality. So therefore, you don't accept a big order that's had 6 weeks shipping coming from overseas to then find out when it turns up that there's an issue with it. You can get to the factory and keep an eye on what's going on, and then, you know, therefore keep an eye on the quality. We do, don't forget, the Industrial Revolution did start in the UK, and we've got, you know, had some great skills here, and we are known for a quality product.
Listen, Kate, I'm sorry, we're getting a lot of interference on the line, so it's difficult to listen to you, but I do want to just give you a chance to tell us where we can find maybe your website, so we can actually come and have a look and see what the work that you're doing is.
The website is makeitbritish.co.uk. Yeah, please, everyone, come and have a look. And please buy British. Look for a Made in Britain label next time you're shopping.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much, Kate. Apologies there for the quality of that line. Clearly, the elements are somewhat against us today. But that was Kate Hills, the founder and CEO of Make It British. And on the line, of course, or down the line, rather, Jack Rafferty out there at the Leicester-based textile manufacturer, Basic Premier Limited. You're listening to BBC Radio Leicester.